It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, top of the morning to you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard from the Circa Resort and Casino. A very busy 3-hour extravaganza lined up for you today. Heavy duty on the NFL draft, obviously. And the NBA playoffs coming up on the program. Aaron Rennie, professional handicapper, sports bettor on the show. His best bets in the NBA. Got one game coming up tonight and what he likes over the weekend. Although there's not much at this point. Ross Tucker in an hour, former NFL player, now an analyst on the draft from last night. The former mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman, to give you some perspective of what this city was like 15, 20 years ago and trying to deal with sports teams and getting big events in this town. I think you're going to enjoy that. And Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa, later on today to tell you what Circa was like and the betting action here. What a great night. Well, what an awesome night and event. And, you know, I love the draft every single year, Paulie. I mean, I can go back again. I say this all the time. I can remember late 80s, early 90s when it was like springtime in Wisconsin and it was nice to get outside finally and maybe go play catch with the football with your friends. And I'm 12 years old, whatever. I'm like, no, sorry, draft's on. I'm going to sit here and not move from the couch for 7-8 hours today. And that has continued for 30-plus years, and every year I love it. It's great. And now that you can bet on this stuff, it makes it even better.
They've done a hell of a job, too, moving it up to Thursday and keeping it moving.
Oh, yeah. Like big, absolutely.
Bam, these picks were in. Bam. Jacksonville milked it. They told them to do that.
Yep.
But it was fantastic. You know, it was like Kramer and George when they went rock climbing and Tony fell.
Yeah.
Did you have fun? Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean,
it
got off to a hot start, and then some of the – I can't believe what transpired with some of the picks, but all the trades and what happened. Good fun, and good job by you. I mean, the Stingley thing, what a shot in the arm with the third pick.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good. We'll touch on that coming up in a second.
That was good.
It was. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't Costanza thing, because it continued to be good. But Walker, why was this, Paulie? Why was Walker still around 450 to be the first pick? We're talking give or take an hour before the draft.
Good point. You even had later Quanu money, too, at points bet in other places. I mean, the cat was out of the bag
right
at that point, as far as I was concerned. You're right. Several people reported even Wednesday that it was a done deal. Excellent point there. The Hutchinson-Thibodeau thing at number two, what would happen at number three, all that was heating up. And in the talk about could someone move up or back with the trades, which turned out to be crazy, too.
But so then what happened with that late steam on Thibodeau going number two and Hutchinson then falling? Because that was circulating like gangbusters again yesterday.
I don't know.
I heard a bunch of stuff on Hutchinson and why the Lions were not going to take him. Turned out to be not true.
Who knows? Maybe they changed their mind. Remember, they loved him in December, but I don't know. And maybe it was going to be Thibodeau the whole time unless Hutchinson fell, and that maybe that's what happened as well. How about the Jets? I mean, the guy who had it said all the sure things here. If Sauce is at four, the Jets are going to take Sauce.
Yep.
But other people who covered the team were Guanu, other guys. Johnson stuff. No, they. How about that? They got their guy, but it looked like Johnson was in play at four.
Yeah, that was one of the losers I had last night. I fell for the steam on Jermaine Johnson, and I paid a heavy price, minus 170 on him, to go under 10.5. And that never even came close to fruition last night. He dropped all the way to the Jets trading back up into the 20s to get him.
I need an explanation. That doesn't make any sense.
Were they the only team like on the scent for Johnson? And then once he dropped below 10, it's like, forget about it. Nobody had any interest in the guy. That's early morning here. That's kind of my thought on what happened to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was the Jets, and that's pretty much it. That was the only spot for him. Stingley going third overall. I went back and looked. I got him early April. April 5th, I believe, was the date, at 100-1.
April 5th.
It was right around the national title game when Kansas won.
And how fast did it move then?
It went to the next time I looked later that day, not even later, like right, it was 80-1. And then I told myself, do I want more on it? Because here's the thing, like,
why'd you bet it?
I'll tell you why I bet it. So I was making a bunch of prop bets, right? And on the app, on several apps, I'm betting, and I'll be completely honest, I'm betting between like 300 and 500 per app, right? Per bet. Some of them I'm betting around 200 on ones that I didn't like as much or whatever. So I tried betting on Stingley, and all those bets, it kept spinning no matter where I'm going. And I'm like, okay, if they're spinning on a $500 bet, if I try to put a bunch on Stingley, if I want to put like 300 on him to win 30,000,
that's a kiosk bet.
Are they going to notice? And I talked to a couple of buddies of mine, and they're like,
no.
That's not going to get accepted on the app. So you can't do that. And right. I never drove to the kiosk. So I ended up putting $100 on him, and I won
$10,000. Oh, all right.
So, but it did the same thing. It spun and spun and spun.
You had to tell your wife, huh? I saw that. She wants shoes now?
I forgot to block her last night on Twitter.
What are you doing?
Yeah. That should have been. But again, they make you work for it now a lot. Like, that should have been one of those things. And the reason why I bet it is because when I'm making some bets, I'm looking. There you go. Yeah, here's the tweet from my wife. Because I said the first order of business is to go out and get a Stingley Texans jersey as soon as I can find one. And she goes, oh, yeah? Here's the second order of business. Need a new pair of these bad boys.
I don't get women. The shoes, they have 20 bottles of shampoo. They got 100 pairs of shoes. They got 19 purses. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, when I met her in 2008, this is no joke, she had more than 200 pairs of shoes.
Oh, was she Beckham? My God.
Yeah, 200.
You're kidding.
No.
Was there an explanation or rationale?
She loves shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She had $6,000 purses and up that she would never use.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear you.
Two totally different species.
I hear you, my friend.
Anyway, so that's, and the reason why I bet it, and I should have gone to the kiosk to bet more, but I didn't. But I'll take it. I'll take the $10,000 on that bet for sure. But the reason, I was reading a bunch of mock drafts, and I saw one, and I need to go back to give this guy credit, and he had Stingley going third overall. I was like, Stingley. And he had a great explanation why he thought Stingley could go third. And I'm like, let me shop around here. I see 100-1. It's like a snap call. Got to bet that. And then it was that week when Lovie Smith came out and said, yeah, we need to improve at cornerback. I'm like, okay, this thing might be live. And then by the time I looked again, it was 30-1. I'm like, I'm not going to add more.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that had everything. That was a trifecta. You had Stingley going third with all that steam, and he went off even money in some places. You had him to be the first corner selected at two that was plummeted big time.
Right.
Sauce was as high as $7 last week. And then you had the prop position that plummeted too, which went down to 7.5.
Yes,
with
all
under
the way down.
Money as well. So you had everything there where the books got carried out on that one.
Yeah.
My God.
So a 100-1 shot on April 5th turned into even money or minus money last night before the draft.
Yes. Yes. And then Walker was 30-1 at BetMGM and 18-1, as you mentioned here locally at Station Casinos. He was part of the field. And then he
goes
off $5
or
$4.50.
Yeah. They had him in the field at 18-1 back in February. They had, I think, 10 players listed. And stations, they were taking 500 to 1,000 a pop on their bets.
Yeah.
And Chuck Esposito, who I was watching last night with at the Red Rock here in Las Vegas, he's like, I'm going to keep posting this every single year. He's like, it's a small loser. Sometimes we might even break even on it, but I got to offer it. It's here in Las Vegas. We have to put the props up.
Good for him. Yeah. Right. Hamilton, no good. I had him under, and he moved. He's moving down. That was no good. The Johnson thing, terrible. 9.5 in that range. Yeah. Kept going down, and he goes mid-20s. And then Cross.
Well, the Cross one
the
got
Cross is
too.
Cross from 7.5, heavily juiced to the under, all the way down to 6.5. And I thought, everything I read, every interview, it was Cross to the Giants, lock it up. Everyone had that. Everyone had it.
Yep.
And it doesn't happen. That one, and then
that's,
and then Pickett going ahead of Willis.
That was a killer for you?
Yes. And it's the Steelers of all people.
Of all teams?
Yes.
They take him at number
20. Supposed to be in love with Willis. If anyone was going quarterback there, it was supposed to be Pittsburgh.
And how about us only, you know what? Credit to the teams drafting last night. Only one quarterback going in the first round.
Yeah.
They never bit. They never fell for it. They listened to the scouting. When those professionals said, look, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. These guys do not grade out as first-round picks, so you can't take them. And they essentially listened. And now I'm guessing that guys like Malik Willis and Ritter. Ritter got me a little bit. I had him under 31.5 in first quarterback taken. The Cross was my biggest loser last night. Yeah. Every single person in the world connected to the Giants said, okay, there's plenty of smoke here. They love the kid. They're going to take him with one of their picks. And then when... I guess when, you know, both offensive linemen were available sitting there at 6 and 7, the other guys, and they weren't taken yet, it's like, okay, well.
Uh-huh. Watching the coverage last night, I don't know how, especially where that it's here, that you don't have someone on that talks about things from a betting standpoint. That blows my mind. Because yeah. Some of these guys were space cadets last night. Like, how was Felica not part of the broadcast?
I would agree.
He was part of the early stuff.
I would agree.
I mean, the Mooch stuff? Well, Carolina's going Pickett at 6. And then I'm watching it live, and
yeah.
I go, he said that, and then McGinnis comes in off the top rope. What did he say?
I'm going to get the exact quote, because I tweeted
at that
out
point,
last night.
I go, that's it for me, and I put the Raptors game on. I go, these guys don't have a clue. You're going to have to move up to get in the teens to take Corral?
Come on,
Willie.
I had to rewind the coverage to make sure I got it right, because I was like, wait, what did he just say?
It was back-to-back comments.
Yep. Willie McGinnis said, quote, if you want to get Matt Corral... you're going to have to move up from 20.
There it is.
End of quote. And he went on to say how the Steelers really like the kid, but if they want him at 20, he's not going to be there. Just like, you're exactly right. In Las Vegas, how do you not have somebody on like, look, his position's 34.5. You can't say something like that. And for Mooch to say, he was going on and on for 2 or 3 minutes, and he was adamant about it.
Oh, yeah,
you got to take Pickett at 6. You just have to.
Yeah. I just don't understand how the NFL now is embrace gambling,
yep.
And then you're right here in Las Vegas, and you don't have someone tackling it from a betting standpoint.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. Some will suggest bad beats don't exist during the NFL draft. I beg to differ. After what happened last night, details on that coming up next.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Hey, hey, welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
NBA betting now, as one of the very best in the business, joins the program. Aaron Rennie, professional sports bettor. ER, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to be with you and looking forward to the second round matchups here.
Yeah, we can begin there. We do have a game tonight, which we'll touch on coming up in a minute, but your overall thoughts on that first round series between the Bucks and the Celtics and the opening number. I know there was a book in town that sent out Celtics minus $2, now a little bit higher than that. What do you think?
Well, I was certainly a little bit surprised by that number, but with, you know, when I went ahead and ran my numbers, I was right with it. And of course I would be, as I've had Boston, the top rated team really in the NBA for, you know, the last 6-8 weeks, talked about it with you guys. And I've tried to adjust down to a certain degree, and they just play to that high number. And, you know, entering the playoffs, I thought Milwaukee, I didn't think anybody was going to beat Milwaukee once again for a few different reasons, the chemistry, having the best player in the world, etc. But boy, it just seems, you know, what's probably going to decide this series, Robert Williams comes back here for Boston, Middleton out for the Bucks. That might be the difference, but it's interesting as we look to all of these series, and certainly in this one, but I think what we have is the best team right now in the NBA against the best player in the NBA. And, you know, it's always hard to bet against the best player in a series as a dog. So would make it a little bit reluctant. And, you know, let's be honest, if you haven't bet the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference, didn't bet them against the Nets, hard to recommend laying $2 in this series here. And it's really, it's a very different matchup now for the Celtics. Of course, the Nets were all on the perimeter, not a lot of size, not a lot of toughness. The Bucks, of course, bring the size, Giannis' ability to get to the rim. Interesting to see how they defend him compared to how they defended Durant, Kyrie, et cetera. And, you know, that was always kind of the thing with the Celtics was the resistance at the rim, stopping guys at the rim. They're a little better equipped to do that with Horford and Williams now at this point. One thing to keep an eye on here, the three-point shooting for the Celtics. The Bucks, of course, still allow a lot of that wide-open three-pointers. Celtics 14th in three-point shooting on the year. Interesting with a guy like Tatum, who had shot the last couple of years 40%, 38%, and he was actually down a little bit this year at 35%. So that could be the difference maker as well. So as of now, won't have a bet on this series, but certainly looking forward to it.
All right. Great call on Boston the whole way and getting on them early on this program. Game one Sunday, they're laying 4.5. Monday night, the Dallas-Phoenix series starts. You're seeing Phoenix as high as 360. Chris Paul was unbelievable in the series in the wins for the Suns. And, you know, what if he doesn't go off in this series? Booker comes back, but he wasn't himself last night. Hit the big three late. I think Dallas found something here, and a blessing by blessing in disguise that Luka gets hurt, and then Brunson's so good. And they, remember, they were the slowest team in the league in pace, and they went up-tempo, and it was bombs away shooting the three. You think the Mavs have a shot?
You know, it's interesting is, you know, you watch these series, and I'll, you know, first thing I've always looked at is who's guarding who? Who are they trying to switch and get to the weak link? You know, if you watch that series early with Booker, and C.J. McCollum was guarding Chris Paul a lot, which was, you know, a plus for Chris Paul. So, you know, last night, if you're paying attention to the props, et cetera, Booker in, McCollum back on Paul, and sure enough, he goes off. So I do have to say, I mean, you know, you think about the matchups again, once again, and, you know, Dallas goes from facing a Utah team with brutal team chemistry, probably the worst team chemistry in the NBA playoffs, the worst about the, you know, just terrible perimeter defense, and a team that, you know, just had a hard time adjusting to anything all year and certainly in that playoff series. Now you go, you know, you go from that to facing a Phoenix team with really is the best chemistry in the NBA, just a plethora of plus wing defenders here to throw at Luka. And, you know, a heady point guard that's seen it all, done it all here in Chris Paul. So I just think it's just a completely different, tougher, way tougher matchup here for the Mavericks. Kid's just, he's done an unbelievable job with this team. I don't know if they got a higher ceiling than this. Luka's good enough to get one or two games, but I think that's probably it.
Yeah, those are good points.
Great observation.
That is. Those are, and you're going against might be the best clutch team of all time. 50-0 when leading after three, and if it's tight with 5 minutes left, they just lean on Paul. Monday afternoon, Miami and Philly. Miami $1.70 favorite. Great job by Philly last night. Maxey was great. Harris played well. Embiid was a beast. What do you think of Miami laying $1.70?
Yeah, I don't. I'm probably more down on Miami than Benny. You know, obviously the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, well deserved. Again, I'm just looking at these teams and I try to see the ceiling, and I I've said it all year, you know, I just don't think Miami has the ceiling, certainly of Boston and Milwaukee. I'm not sure about Philadelphia. I make this series a little bit closer to a pick 'em than that type of price. Again, Philadelphia's got the best player in this series with Embiid. It's always a little bit dangerous. You know, as I've stated, I just don't have Miami rated that high. And Butler, the best player here for Miami. I thought he looked phenomenal at times in that first round against Atlanta.
Yep.
But a little bit of a grain of salt there, you know, going against that Trae Young, toothless Atlanta defense. Going to be a lot different here. Philly, a lot better defenders, a lot more size than him. So I think it's going to be a tougher, much tougher defense here for Miami to play. The Lowry injury is a little bit concerning with that injury with the hamstring. Both Lowry and Butler have been banged up all year. The Raptors played, as poorly as they looked at times, they were still showing Philadelphia a lot of what they're going to see in this series, a lot of switching, a lot of junked up type of defenses that might help them in this series. But with that said, Paulie, you go to the intangibles, coaching, defense, the Embiid injury, that probably leans a little bit here towards Miami. At this point, I'm just leaning to Philadelphia to plus price in the series.
All right. Okay. Anything on tonight's game, with the Grizzlies favored on the road against the T-Wolves, laying about a point or point and a half?
How about it, Paulie? Taylor comes up and plays Morant and Bane 45 minutes apiece last game. Some of those guys. I was waiting for him to do that. Yep. They needed every bit of it to win by two. I thought this series was very close. Minnesota tends to kind of give games away, take a lot of bad shots, et cetera. So I did not bet the side in this game. If anything, would lean over the total again. The bigs are kind of sitting now for Memphis. Morant, Bain, they've gone to the small ball. Jones played 20 minutes last game. So if anything, would lean over the total.
Oh, enter. Yeah. Okay, very good.
Did you go hit the strip last night for the draft?
I did not. I was trying to prepare for these new matchups and try to get a good read on them, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Follow ER on Twitter. He is at ER Sports 1. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy, the game that we have tonight anyway, ER, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, no NBA games Saturday.
Yeah.
So tonight could be a different story.
How about that?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Well done.
That's a good line. Tonight might be a different story for him.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
I love that they went small, and I thought what happened in the fourth quarter of the last game was going to transpire in the whole series. They went to the free throw line, they killed them on the glass, and they killed them in the paint. And Adams has COVID. That could be a blessing in disguise, at least for the team. But second chance points, they are killing Minnesota in the fourth quarter.
David Thorpe, who's a regular guest on here, TrueHoop.com, he brought up a good point on Twitter. He thinks Adam should play because he sets – we'll talk to him about this on Monday. He claims that Adam's picks that he sets for Morant and other players are so good, and when he's not in the game, other players don't do it, so it changes who they are on offense.
He was horrendous in game one.
No, I know. I
horrendous.
Understand that. Yeah.
But it goes back to Jackson, stay out of foul trouble.
Of course. Okay? But you can't – again.
I mean, it was so much – it's just a bizarre series. I mean, Brooks can't make a shot. They don't play well last game. They win the game.
Yep.
Jaws goes off in the fourth quarter. Jackson's in foul trouble every game.
Yep.
Same thing with Towns.
Yeah,
Minnesota could have won the damn thing already.
By the way, one request. Can you find, fouls markets? Is that possible?
Oh, sure. Good point.
If you can, send them in, ftm@vsin.com. I want to know how many fouls the prop is tonight for Towns and Jackson and to get disqualified tonight. To foul out with six of them. What is that number?
You remember what happened the last game in Minnesota? The whole Memphis team was in foul trouble.
Yep. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 20% profit boost on the NHL every Friday. Must be 21 plus. Offer not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN.
Congratulations to everyone who joined David Hess yesterday for a 4-1 night. David, the top totals expert at winnersandwiners.com, gave out the under 8 on yesterday's Houston-Texas game, which had 0 hits until the 7th inning and 5 total runs scored. Nice win, David. But he did not stop there. He graciously gave out the rest of his premium plays yesterday absolutely free to everyone who texted in. That was 4 more games with 3 wins and a loss, ending the day with a very profitable 4-1, and David is far from done. Text in today and get the whole weekend of his premium picks absolutely free. That's right, 3 days of expert picks just for texting in. No cost, no obligation. Get the whole weekend of David's premium picks absolutely free. Text VSIN to area code 320-350-3500. That's VSIN to 320-350-3500. Ross Tucker joins the program now, host of the Even Money Podcast and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross, good morning. As always, thanks so much for the time. How about your former position last night? 9 offensive linemen in the first round. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was awesome. I got to be honest with you. There's no way I thought that Cole Strange, the guard from Tennessee Chattanooga, FCS, by the way, I'm an old FCS guy. No way I thought he would go in the first round, but pretty cool because as I put on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, DraftKings gave me a boost from plus 150 to plus 200 on the over 7.5 offensive linemen. So when Linderbaum went to the Ravens, I was pumped that we got to 8. I knew that there was a decent chance, you know, with 7 picks left. And then Strange at 9. Pretty awesome that we got to 9. We crushed it.
Good job.
I'd say.
Yeah. What was the biggest surprise for you?
A good question. I was pretty surprised that Jermaine Johnson fell as far as he did. You know, the Jets ended up getting him at 26. Every mock draft seemingly had him in the top 15, a lot of times in the top 10, going to the Jets at 10 or Atlanta at 8 or whatever. That's always interesting to me. When someone falls that much more than every mock draft, you wonder if maybe there was something medical there or a maturity issue or something like that. So that was certainly one of the ones that jumped me. How about the Saints? I mean, the Saints, if you think about what they traded with the Eagles to get pick 16, and then what they traded to go from 16 to 11 with the Commanders, that's an awful lot of draft picks, guys, for Chris Olave. I mean, he better be an absolute stud, difference-making player for the Saints to trade that many picks for one wide receiver.
That was exactly my thought when they traded up, and then that was the guy they took at number 11 in a very strong wide receiver class yet again this year, Ross.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because here's what I would tell you. I watch a lot of Big Ten football. I live right near Penn State. I don't think there's that much of a difference between Jahan Dotson from Penn State and Chris Olave from Ohio State. And Washington traded down from 11 to 16. They get third and fourth round picks, and then they just draft Dotson.
Yeah, agreed.
So that was a stunner to me. I didn't expect Kenyon Green to go so early at 15 to the Texans. But because of my DraftKings boost, I'm glad he did. I'll give you another one. Kyle Hamilton, 14 to the Ravens. Now, I believe the Ravens wanted to draft the monster from Georgia, Jordan Davis, but the Eagles jumped in front of him. But I also believe the Ravens said, you know what? We're fine just staying right here. We'll take Kyle Hamilton, who, guys, when the season ended, every mock drafted Kyle Hamilton in the top 5.
Yeah.
Some of them had him going number 2 to the Lions. He didn't play any games since then. He ran a bad 40 time in the cold in South Bend. Who cares? I think the Ravens got two studs like they seemingly always do in the draft.
Okay, so you were also at Eagles headquarters last night for the draft. I personally think that's one of the teams that killed it last night to get Davis at 13. I love the pick. And then I know it's a lot of money for A.J. Brown, but to acquire him as well, I mean, the excitement level in Philadelphia, and by the way, their future market, I was watching at a sports book here in Las Vegas last night. As soon as it happened, when they got A.J. Brown, the sports book director came on the mic and said, well, we have an adjustment to make. Eagles from 35-1 down to 25-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, first of all, Jordan Davis immediately, guys, becomes the most physically imposing player in the NFL. Think about that. I mean, say that out loud. 6'6", 341, runs less than a 4'8", 40. But here's the thing. I think there's more there. You know, I know he's a great run-stuffing defensive tackle. And by the way, those guys get paid. Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Dalvin Tomlinson, Linval Joseph. Those guys get paid. They're important. He immediately becomes one of the best in the NFL at that. I think he's got more than that in terms of being able to bring some pass rush. And then A.J. Brown, 4 years, $100 million. But remember, $57 million guaranteed, and he still had 1 year left on his rookie contract. So they really have him for 5 more years. And this first year is extremely affordable. He has a different skill set than Devontae Smith. He catches slants. He's big, he's physical, run after the catch. He's a perfect complement to what they already have in Devontae Smith. And really what they're doing, guys, they're giving Jalen Hurts every opportunity to succeed and show he can be the long-term guy in Philly.
Yep. Yep. Let's stay in that area and also the quarterback position here or lack thereof. How about Pickett goes to the Steelers and not Willis? And then even, you know, Corral was here. Corral had was under the assumption he got information that there was a chance he was going last night. So what do you think of what happened with the quarterbacks?
Well, yeah, that kind of hurt my heart a little bit because I saw where Corral said he had talked to enough owners and enough GMs that he was comfortable being there.
Yes.
That tells you all you need to know about what the owners and the GMs say to some of these guys when they go on their visits. But, you know, for me, the Steelers, I was surprised by that. Now, Kenny Pickett had an unbelievable year. It's got to be pretty cool, by the way, for people out in Pittsburgh. They've been cheering this guy for 5 years as Kenny, you know, as the quarterback there at Pitt. Now they get to continue cheering him. I love that you're putting up my sarcastic tweet right now, by the way, at Ross Tucker NFL. If you guys are bored, okay, anybody listening or watching, go to at Ross Tucker NFL and see all of the people that say to me, but Ross, he played at Pittsburgh in college. Ross, he played at Pittsburgh in college. It's unbelievable. At this point, I should almost be insulted that either they don't know who I am or they think I'm that stupid that I would tweet something like that and not know that's where Kenny Pickett went. But I got to be honest with you guys. I thought they would go Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. Yep. I thought Mike Tomlin wanted a guy with the Malik Willis upside and with his running ability. I did not envision them picking Pickett if it came down to them, but it's obviously an awesome storyline.
Can you believe the Packers pass on wide receiver yet again?
Well, that's the thing, though. By the time they went to draft, the six guys with first-round grades were all gone. I mean, the six guys that people really thought would go round one were all gone by 18. So the Packers really didn't have a chance. You know, unless they moved up, which, by the way, Saints moved up. The Titans moved up to get Treylon Burks. Obviously, the Lions moved up. So the Packers can say whatever they want, guys, but ultimately, it's just not important enough to them. It's just not important enough to them to get a receiver for Aaron Rodgers. I thought when they traded Devontae Adams out to you guys in Vegas, it was because it was a great wide receiver draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. The six elite guys, the six first-round guys are all gone. They're going to have to hope they hit on one of these second or third rounders.
Yeah. I will say this. Their defense can be pretty damn good next year. Some of the, you know, if one of the guys that they took last night hits, because the defense last year at the end of the season when they were healthy, they played pretty well. Mother's Day is coming up. We've talked to you about this before, but for the new audience that we have every day, they are maybe unaware of myfrontpagestory.com. Tell everybody why this would make such a great Mother's Day gift.
Well, first of all, nobody really knows what to get the moms in their lives for Mother's Day. I mean, people get them like a gift card, maybe flowers. If you're watching, you can see it is a beautiful framed story. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. And what I love about it is not only it's so awesome to tell them that you got a story written about them, but then when they actually read the quotes, they cry, man. Like, what my sister and I got one from my mom. She was crying at my sister's quotes. You get it for your wife, she'll be crying. Like, she will cry, you will win. And the beauty of it is, it'll be hanging in the house forever. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. They're going to have to hang it up somewhere in their house. So it's like a daily reminder of how much you love them. That's what I love about it. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com. Best Mother's Day gift ever.
Home run idea that you helped come up with, and you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Ross Tucker NFL, Even Money Podcast, and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast as well. Great to talk to you here, Ross, the day after the draft. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me. I always love coming on with you guys in the morning.
Be good.
Thank you. Good job.
We get nine receivers. Nine offensive linemen. We can't get seven receivers.
Yeah. And Detroit figured it out. Go get Williams.
Yeah.
Green Bay, go up, make a trade.
And by the way, I don't think the Lions gave up that much.
No.
They got a second-round pick in return, and they gave up a third-round pick, and they moved up 20 spots.
I'm with Balthy on what the Saints did. But, I mean, come on. 20 years in a row now. You know, there's just a disconnect there with the relationship. One guy's like, well, look at the contract they gave me. What are they going to pass on him? I mean, what, go with Jordan Love? I mean, it's a strained relationship. I mean, how do you, again, the guy in Tampa gets whatever he wants. This guy's throwing the bums.
I agree. FTM@VSiN.com is the email rolling along here. Post draft night in Las Vegas from downtown Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard here on VSiN.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back on the program. Here it is, Follow the Money. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas, like years ago here in town, 15, 20 years ago. The city had no chance of getting an event like the NFL draft or an NFL team or any of this stuff. And since, we got the Golden Knights, right? Golden Knights, Raiders, Stanley Cup Final has been here, NHL All-Star Game, NFL Draft, a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl is coming. The city is getting an F1 race, March Madness Regional in 2023, two NASCAR races every year, the Frozen Four. Again, this had no chance of happening. The former mayor, Oscar Goodman, was kind enough to join us earlier in this week. And we asked him, Mayor, do you think all of this happened because of the legalization of sports betting?
No, I think it was tenacity. Look what's happened here. We're the greatest city in the world. And I'm not just saying because I'm the former mayor. My wife's the mayor. I'm not saying that. It really is the greatest place. You can do anything you want here as long as you have the wherewithal to do it and you have the guts to do it. Look what we have. Every single major sports in the world. Baseball is inevitable. I don't know whether it's going to be the Oakland team, but it's inevitable. Manfred spoke to my wife at a conference of mayors, and I think she read him on that. Adam Silver became a friend of ours. Ashton Stern after a while. And there's no doubt in my mind we're going to have an NBA franchise. But I think it all really came about with the great UNLV basketball teams. We saw what a team could do to galvanize a city. And one sports team would have done that. Can you imagine where we are today with wherever you turn? There's a new stadium, new arena, new team, new sport. I read something about lacrosse coming here. I don't know. I thought Indians played lacrosse.
So you have so take us through how bad it was, because the draft is here. We have the Raiders. You were also on the convention authority. I mean, this was we're not talking about a 180 here. You couldn't even mention the TV show Las Vegas when they were televising the games on NBC. How bad was it? Tell people.
It was horrible. It was horrible with the NFL in particular. It was the most dysfunctional group of players in the world. And they were saying that Las Vegas is a bad place for them to come to. It made no sense to me. We wanted to put an ad during the Super Bowl. They actually changed the name of the game from the Super Bowl to the big game or some stupid thing like that. And when I heard that, I went out of my mind. So I went on every TV station, every channel in the world, and I told it the way it was, that these guys are morons. And every time I said they were a moron, of course, they played our ad. So at the end of the day, I'm told we got about $20 million worth of free advertising publicity instead of paying $2,500,000 for the ads being placed during the Super Bowl. So it just shows you how smart they are.
What was the most ridiculous and absurd thing? If you remember going back, remember they came in and said you couldn't show the game on 55-inch TVs?
No, I don't remember that, but nothing surprises me. As they were adamant about Las Vegas, they thought Las Vegas was a den of iniquity, that behind every rock was a little Meyer Lansky. I mean, their vision of us was a pre-movie casino, way different than the Las Vegas that we know and we love. So, yeah, it was a battle, but it's well worth it. Look what we have. We got the best today. Nobody would have ever dreamt that we would have had the NFL draft. The closest I got to it, I thought I had a great idea. I wanted to have a stadium built and just televise Thursday night, Monday night, and Sunday football games.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember that.
Out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. A revolving schedule where they all come to Vegas and we would be bringing people into the 155,000 rooms as they grew to stay here for an extra day. And it would have paid for itself in just a light year. So I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't quit. I love living here, and my kids and their kids will all enjoy sports. And they'll think that they were here forever, but they don't remember the battle that we were in.
Do you miss being a lawyer?
You know, I miss talking to juries. I miss the action. But I'm so happy. I got a lot of good things taking place. I'm part of a little production company. We have some really terrific stuff that is about to break, and meaningful movie type things and Netflix type things. I don't know about Netflix anymore, but that type of thing. So I'm dealing with the big leagues there, and watch my wife work so hard to make it a better place. And you go downtown, it's the old story. They're always naysayers. They used to say that old railroad site could never be developed. Looked at it. People are fighting to get a little corner of it to have a property there, which we now call Symphony Park. But to get it started, it's the same way people talk about Cashman now. They don't want to go there. They're nuts. It could be the best real estate play. They're all going to the south end of the strip. The city's a much better place to do business, and it would be a lot more fun and a lot more lucrative to go down there and to really build a city within the city.
Were you afraid of Spilotro?
Was I afraid of him?
Yeah.
What's there to be afraid of? What, because the FBI said that he killed 27 people? Well, as I said to the FBI, shame on you. He never spent a day in jail.
Okay.
I have no idea how you're going to respond to this question, but can you explain what it was like when the mob ran Las Vegas, and do you miss those days?
I miss the old days. It was a day of a handshake. You know what I mean. You
yes.
guys were gamblers. Yeah, nothing was in writing. Everything was on a handshake and a look in the eye and that kind of thing. And much better town in that regard, but we didn't have the, you know, the one. There's always a trade-off, and I missed my clients. My clients were all characters. I got a big break when they asked me to play myself in the movie Casino, and I enjoyed each and every day being with Pesci and De Niro and Sharon Stone, and that was a lot of fun. And then the movie came out, and my mother said, "I saw your movie, and Oscar, it's a good thing you're a lawyer." So my acting career came to a screeching halt. But it's a trade-off. I sort of like the old days a little better, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What was De Niro like?
Very quiet, very nice, very helpful. I can't memorize lines. I just had my mind doesn't memorize lines, but it's a great mind. I mean, the gin has made the gin cells are phenomenal. My brain is phenomenal, but I can't remember lines. And I kept on blowing my lines, and Scorsese was pulling the little hairs out of his head, and everybody was missing the cue. So finally, De Niro said, "Use cue cards." I said, "Cue cards? I can't do that to everybody." He says, "Well, Marlon Brando did." So I used cue cards, and from then on, it was fine.
Wow.
Are you still betting on sports to this day?
Betting on sports? I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I take out my phone. I did fine yesterday. I'm doing great. Baseball is an easy one for me.
Okay.
The football, we ended up, I was with a group of nice guys, and we had a little piece of one of the contests, and we came in second.
What?
Where?
Did you really? Which one?
Yeah, really. Where?
Yeah.
Do I have to advertise someplace other than Oscar's Steakhouse downtown?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, what? No, the place across the street. No, Derek Stevens' place, of course. We came in second.
Is that the Survivor or the Pick'em? Or the
Survivor. The Survivor.
When do you usually have your first cocktail?
I'm a little confused now. I don't know when I have my first nor my last. They sort of blend into one another. But if I were to follow my rule, I don't start till 5 o'clock. And you can talk to me after five, and I'll sound pretty logical.
Okay.
But I won't remember a darn thing. The next morning, if you say, "Well, remember last night?" You said, I have no recollection of what happened in our conversation of last night. So I'm taking notes now. And
that's good. Smart. Yeah, you were asked like 20 years ago, I think it was a city council meeting, if you had a drinking problem. You said, no, you love to drink.
I do. What's wrong with drinking? Drinking is good for you.
What's that?
A healthy fella.
Yeah. Was it a third grade class? They said, what would you take with you on a desert island?
No, it was a fourth grade class.
Oh, I'm
keep
sorry.
It straight, Paul.
I would never say that to third graders. Fourth grade well, it wasn't. It really was not a desert island. It was an island in the middle of the ocean, and I'd be all by myself. And what's the one thing I would want? And I know that the good folks in our community would probably say that the mayor should have a Bible with him. That'd be good for him. I said I'd take a bottle of gin. Well, I got a little bit of heat for it, which I did not mind. And the next day I went out to a gathering, and a cocktail waitress came up to me, and she says, "Boy, oh boy, I'm glad my husband wasn't asked the question." I said, "Why?" He would have said he would have taken porn.
We need to come up with another side bet sometime soon.
I'm ready. Yeah, you name it. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I give you the choice. That's the amazing thing. You can't win a bet. I give you the choice. I'm like the BM here. And that's why I want my VIG. I want you to pay me what you owe me. This is about 3-4 years now. And I think you owe me about $14 by now. Little dollars, grocery dollars. And you're nowhere in sight. You're hiding from me. And every time I spot you, you duck. And it's very disturbing to me.
You are 2-0 lifetime against me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tip of the cap.
Yes, I am. I'm ready now. Do you want to do something on the draft? I'm not going to do something on the draft. Does a quarterback go in the first five?
I'll say no.
I say yes.
Okay, you got there it. You go. Deal. What do you want to bet?
You name it. I'm rich.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.